I'll do you the last four results for Everton, right? I have to do the derby, right? 19th of December, Everton 0, Liverpool 1. Everyone had their heads in their hands. Then Everton, quite a resounding victory over Leicester City. A 2-2 draw with Hull. Hull, I don't think, are bad, as people are saying they are. And then almost the festive icing on the top of the Christmas cake against Southampton yesterday. You must be happy enough. That's what, 6 points out of a possible nine?
Yeah, well, if you include the Arsenal game as well, just before the derby, I think the points accrued there were obviously a lot higher than I would have expected going into those games because Everton didn't really have any sort of form or momentum behind them. And one of the pleasing things...
They really don't. I'm just looking through all the results this season. That's one thing Everton do not have is form or momentum.
Well, they still haven't won two back-to-back games, as far as I'm aware, which is incredible, given that we're now over halfway through the season. And it was unexpected, and we've somehow stumbled across a way of playing with a bit more energy, a bit more what you'd expect maybe from a Ronald Koeman team. Mm. And things are looking a bit rosier. We're slightly more, I'd say, cautiously optimistic now.
Or did you get the rub of the green a few times, a la how Liverpool did? We spoke off air just now. Liverpool, I think, personally, were very lucky to get away with 7 points out of nine over the Christmas period. Had Joe Allen have finished, or had Jermaine Defoe been able to find the net yesterday, and a bit of an abject performance at the start of the City game, I potentially say Liverpool were lucky to get 7 points out of nine. Would you not say Everton had a little bit of that when you look at the Arsenal game specifically? If Arsenal could just settle their heads and tap the ball home, it should have been and could have been 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, that was a frantic last minute, wasn't it? And anything could have happened. Even Everton could have gone down the other end of the pitch and scored. They squandered a great opportunity. So Southampton's probably a good place to start. And it wasn't a 3-0 game, in my opinion. The two teams were a lot closer for a good 70, 75 minutes. And then in the end, Everton's superior fitness, I think, showed. And we had a bit of more up front, a bit more about us there. So I'm just happy that we're starting to see some sort of green shoots of recovery when it comes to the way Everton are playing. That midfield combination of Tom Davis and Idrissa Gueye worked really well. It was full of energy and ballast. And I've been banging on for weeks, months, about Tom Davis, and he finally got an opportunity.
It seems like every Everton fan has been.
Yeah. I mean, he's been very, very good since he came into the team at the back end of last season. He was excellent. I've never seen an 18-year-old dominate a midfield like he did against Norwich. And I think he can feel a bit hard done by, given how he's played for the under-23s. I've seen a fair bit of them, so I know that he's been performing very well. And I think he can feel a bit hard done by that he hadn't had an opportunity up to now, because you look at some of those guys in there, the likes of James McCarthy, who until recently hadn't played very well, and then Tom Cleverley, who just doesn't ever play above a 6 out of 10. And you think that he may feel a bit hard done by that.
Yeah, we talk about him quite a lot in here, and when we do the All in the Game section of the show every Monday, his name creeps up every single week. And okay, we are joined by his agent most weeks, right? Neil Sang joins us every Monday, or most Mondays, to talk through all the footballing ins and outs. And he's a great fodder to have in here for how the business of football works, and he's great positivity-wise. So in fairness to him, he pulls back in talking about Tom Davis.
Yeah.
And we're always the ones who go, listen, what is the situation with Tom? Because he's brilliant, he can't go out on loan. And he's not, we found out, not through Sangy, but through the likes of yourself and many of the other people from the Blue Room, including Dave behind the glass, that he didn't go out on loan because he knew, or indeed people were starting to say, he's very close to the first team squad. Mm. And can you give him a rating or a mark yesterday on how he did? I suppose I'm going to call this his debut, because it feels like his debut, if that makes any sense.
It kind of did, in a sense. It was almost his second full debut for Everton, if you look at it that way. And I would give him a 7 out of 10. And by that, there were some things to work on. He was a bit shoddy in his distribution at times, maybe a bit too reckless jumping into tackles.
It's incredible you're saying that, because everyone else gave him a 9.5 just because he was something different.
Yeah.
And I agree with you with the 7 and 7, 7.5.
Yeah, it was a solid midfield performance. And as I said earlier, I thought there were real promising signs in the way that Gueye and him, the two of them meshed. And it was it felt balanced. I said it on Twitter after the game. There was a real balance about those two providing the energy, and then Ross Barkley given more of a, say, a number eight role to go and create. And for the first time, Match of the Day highlighted it last night too. For the first time, we saw Barkley taking on a bit more responsibility, and he's shirked that up to now. I was speaking to somebody earlier, and I said maybe this is because now he's got another Everton Academy graduate that he himself feels that he needs to mentor slightly.
Right, well, look, hold on. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here, right? Because, you know, we are talking about Everton, because this is what happens. Yeah. And this isn't the Liverpool fan of me talking. This is what happens every time Everton go on a good run, right? You guys joined me in here after the first half dozen games of the season, and we all went, wow, this is brilliant. Everton sitting pretty there, and then the depth took its toll, right? A couple of injuries. You spoke about James McCarthy there a couple of seconds ago. Ross Barkley went off the boil. There was the goalkeeping situation. Lukaku hadn't scored in donkeys. But then things are clicking at the moment. Leicester in the FA Cup coming up Saturday, followed by Everton against Manchester City, a team that Everton stole a point of earlier on in the season, right? I think that's fair. What do Everton need to do to make sure they maintain this momentum? Because bringing players in isn't necessarily the best thing to do if you're on a decent run.
No, it's not, but Idrissa Gueye is going to the African Cup of Nations now, and he's going to be a massive miss. He's been the player of the season up to now. I think just about everybody connected to Everton would agree with that.
Everyone connected to any team has watched him. He's been brilliant.
He's been sensational in there, and it's very hard to replicate what he does with just one player, and that's what we've seen with Leicester, I suppose, losing Conte earlier in the season. They haven't been able to do that themselves. So I think there is an urgent need for at least one addition this week. And I would push the boat out, go for Morgan Schneiderlin and make sure he's in situ in time for that.
But he hasn't played any regular first-team football in about 2 months. Is that a good idea?
He would need to be eased into things, of course. As far as I can tell, he's only played, two Europa League games for United all season. So obviously he couldn't be thrown right into the deep end. But
that's what Everton need.
He's an excellent player. You could bring him off the bench against, say, Leicester, and then hope that he's ready for me, at least, for that Manchester City game the week after. That's the focus as far as Everton are concerned.
So I've played devil's advocate ever so slightly there, saying just watch yourself, Everton taking on Leicester and then Manchester City. But then, at the turn of the month, there are two games, ridiculously winnable games, in Crystal Palace taking on Everton and then Stoke taking on Everton. Now, if you were to pick up anything against Manchester City and turn the corner into February, this tag, and I know Everton fans either love it or hate it, this best of the rest tag, it can be Everton's. And, you know, a few decent results or dodgy results for Manchester United, you just never know.
Yeah, we spoke off air and I basically said that there's a top six, and I think that's fairly defined already, with United perhaps being the weakest of those sides. And then there's a group just below them, the likes of Everton and Southampton and West Brom. And I think what yesterday showed was that if Everton can make a few additions, that seventh place is up for grabs. The big issue between now and the end of the season is what Koeman can do in the FA Cup. I think a lot of Evertonians were very disappointed by that Norwich slip up. And it's quite important for Everton to start getting back into winning ways in terms of silverware and getting to the latter round of
Dave behind
cup
the glass
competitions.
Said he'd take 17th if they won the FA Cup.
Well, in the hypothetical situation that Everton were in a relegation battle, then I think you would prioritise that just because of the financial money on offer. But I would certainly take a mid-table finish and an FA Cup win over a seventh place without any sort of silverware. And I actually believe most Evertonians probably would as well, because it's been a long time since we won anything, obviously.
Can I ask you for your highlight of 2016? You can give me a three if you want, in no particular order. Well, I'll give you one. One has to be, obviously, the purchase of Idrissa Gueye.
Yeah.
Has to be in there.
Yeah. We're struggling for highlights in 2016 with Everton. The Arsenal game was a highlight for me, just purely because we seemed to start to turn the table.
The
somewhat.
Noise at Goodison,
the
was
noise was
phenomenal,
was incredible, and a sense of momentum gathered there, which has kind of followed through into the rest of the Christmas fixtures. I'd be struggling for another one because we've not played particularly well. 2016, I think we accumulated something like 42 points over the course of the calendar year. That placed us about, I think, 12th. In the Premier League. It wasn't a stellar year for Everton by any
I'm gonna let you have a wee think. There must be another one in there somewhere, right? So I'm looking ahead at the fixtures. Everton taking on Leicester Saturday. Sunday, Everton taking on Manchester City. That's the 15th. Crystal Palace, Everton, then Stoke against Everton. Is the acquisition of Ronald Koeman a highlight?
Yes, I believe. I'm cautious on this because time will tell. And if we get dumped out of the cup on Saturday, and things start to look slightly different again, and the tables turn again, I think he's a good acquisition for Everton, and more than that as well. I think the appointment of Steve Walsh as this kind of new director of football is vital. Is vital moving forward because we're now being linked with a very certain kind of player. The two have to mesh together, work in sync, and find a sustainable transfer policy. Because as we saw last week with Axel Witsel going to China, Everton's newfound millions or billions, they don't mean much in the context of the world game, do they? So can he astute purchases like Idrissa Gueye, who I believe Steve Walsh was very keen on at Leicester as well, and who. He
here's
brought
50,
to Everton
here's 50 million,
then.
Right? Take Schneiderlin out of the situation, right? 19 million offered for him. Manchester United have turned it down. Mm. 50 million, name your player.
One player.
You can split it into two 25s if you want.
I'd have Virgil van Dijk from Southampton. He'd probably take up quite a sizable chunk of that, wouldn't
okay.
he?
Okay.
And just anybody that strengthens the core of that midfield, the defence, the spine of the team, really. It's still, to me, a bit soft-centred. Just trying to think for another one. Virgil van Dijk and a very good partner for Romelu Lukaku to ease the burden. You'd be looking at a Lacazette, but even that's a stretch, isn't it?
You and I have talked about this off-air, and producer Dave has just given me this in my ear as well, and I genuinely think this is the call of the transfer window. Yeah. Gylfi Sigurdsson. With Romelu Lukaku, what a great player! Like, he's proven. I'll say from a Liverpool perspective, he always scores against Liverpool. Yeah. You know, was superb in his first stint at Swansea. Looks like Swansea aren't going to be in this league. Maybe he's looking out. New manager in there. I suppose his conversations with Paul Clement over the next couple of days are going to be vital. Yeah. What do you reckon?
No, it's an excellent shout. I've called for him myself a fair few times, and that's primarily because I think most Evertonians now are getting used to the fact that Ross Barkley's maybe not a conventional number 10. He doesn't work with his back to goal. His decision-making still not there to play in the role. You'd like to see him coming onto the ball from deeper and running at players and committing them. So Sigurdsson would be somebody that could play in that number 10 position, and he'd be an excellent buy for Everton.
And finally, as we head into 2017, give me your player of 2016 in a blue shirt.
If we're saying that Idrissa Gueye was only here from August, then we'd probably have to go for Romelu Lukaku, who is always the subject of much debate on social media. But
and
I think he's tremendous in terms of just the sheer outlay of goals. If you look at how many he scored for us recently,
and obviously this is my show, so the winner is Seamus Coleman, obviously the Republic of Ireland captain, playing. What? Don't be looking at me like that. He did two or three bad games.
Much Listen, improved recently.
The Seamus, much improved. Yeah. Yes, and as we have now officially made it, he is the Everton player of 2016 and full time here on Radio City Talk. Listen, Paddy Boylan, great to have you in with me as
no
per
problem.
Usual. Join the lads on Wednesday evening. The Blue Room is back. If you want to listen to the last episode, which was last week actually, get yourself onto iTunes, download it now, and we look forward to more Blue news right here on Radio City Talk throughout 2017.